Now, you wrote an article called One Man Show, What Happens If Bernie Sanders Runs for the Presidency. You wrote that last year, is that right?
Yeah, that's one of a series of articles. I mean, I've been writing about Bernie Sanders since the 1970s, actually, and I wrote a book about him in the late 80s. That article was written because he was contemplating running. I don't think at that point he actually announced, and the question was, would he run, and what would happen if he ran against a woman? And so I was addressing his first his race for governor in 1986. When he did do that.
Right. It seems like in many ways he was in quite a different situation then than now.
Better situation now.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, but one of the things that was interesting to me is that you, in 1998, you also spoke with him. You interviewed him at length about his philosophy and plans when you were working for a Vermont weekly. And you write that he, at that time, 1998, could already envision a run for president, and he was certain that he would do well.
Yes.
Was he nuts or prescient to think that way back then?
Well, I think prescient, and a lot of us really felt that that it was inevitable. I don't know about winning, but at that point, I think it was more that he could run a very credible third-party campaign. I mean, Bernie didn't talk about it a lot himself, but other people talked about it, starting it when he was in Congress, after about 6 years, and especially when we began to see him showing up at more Democratic functions. We got the feeling that he was really learning the ropes and positioning himself for potentially some sort of run. The question was, what way? And we all, I think a lot of people felt he was a more likely third-party candidate, so the real surprise was that he entered the Democratic primary. For those who were there from the beginning, let's say.
And you did speak with him at one point, and he said he wasn't going to, you know, basically do what Nader had done. I think this might have been misinterpreted by some people. Chris Hedges wrote something about how, actually, I'll stop with that. So he said he wasn't going to do a Nader. Say a little bit more about why he decided to run as a Democrat and what that really means in terms of his relationships with the party.
Well, I mean, that opens up the whole question of the evolution of the relationship. He begins as a third-party anti-war activist at a time when in Vermont, anyway, the Democratic Party really wasn't open to all the countercultural newcomers who were coming to the state. I mean, we were just coming off of 100 years of Republican rule. So it begins that way. And also in Burlington, the biggest city, but a fairly conservative city with a Klanish Democratic Party, and he was a sort of a generational change candidate outside the two-party system. But once he was in power as a mayor, the situation changes. You have to administer, you have to deal with the state legislature, you have to get things done, basically. And so then begins a relationship, a kind of dance with the Democratic Party from the outside, but there were people who were part of the Progressive Coalition and the larger progressive movement in Vermont who were working inside the party, some working outside. There are allies of Bernie who become officials within the Democratic Party, and gradually he makes peace. He endorsed Jesse Jackson in 88, actually 84 as well, and then once he's in Congress, he forms the Progressive Caucus, which is, of course, populated by all Democrats except for himself, and begins to work in coalition with Democrats. And then finally, during the Clinton scandal, which is when I wrote that article that you mentioned, he appeared in defense of Bill Clinton on the White House lawn. I thought that was quite notable. He neutralized the Democratic Party in Vermont, in a sense, by running against it, defeating its candidates, and eventually convincing most of the party leaders that it was better to work with him than to try to fight him.
So that was with the Democratic Party in Vermont. It seems like a lot of the media has been saying that he is, you know, more or less shunned by the Democratic Party.
The leaders of the Democratic Party.
Okay, if you could clarify that, because I don't think the media, you know, they kind of paint it, they say no Democrats are supporting him. I mean, now there have been a few I believe, in the House of Representatives who have. But I think the idea is being put out there that he has no support among the Democratic Party in the House and Senate.
It's a leadership versus base situation nationally. In Vermont as well, the Democratic leadership, the elected officials in Vermont, the governor, the other senator, Patrick Leahy, the mayor of Burlington, other officials have endorsed Clinton, not enthusiastically, but they're on her team. They announced preemptively, you might say, but the base of the Democratic Party is not decided. And across the country, young Democrats or independents leaning Democrat are in support of him within unions, within movements, but the leadership of those movements have been quick to rally around Hillary Clinton because she has been part of the leadership of the Democratic Party. This is an insurgency. Sanders isn't a Democrat, and a lot of people he's bringing along are, in a sense, occasional Democrats or people who are independents who lean Democratic. So there would be a kind of a difference between how the leadership goes and how their own constituents feel.
What does that bode then for the whole primary nominating process? I mean, you know, my sense has been that Bernie might have a better chance winning in the general than he does winning the nomination. How does that calculus work?
I think you're right about that, actually. In fact, I sometimes feel that he's running a general election campaign right now because he won't pivot. This is the campaign he's running. You know, if Hillary gets the nomination, she's going to immediately pivot back from all of these progressive stands she's been taking to try to show she can, you know, work across the to capture the center, because she is essentially a centrist in the end. And Bernie is a leftist, and so he's not going to pivot. His position is what it is. So I think that now the question is whether he's able to be flexible enough in his messaging to, you know, to sort of stick with the message but somehow appeal to the people who are more into identity politics. I think that's part of the factor. He's, you know, Hillary's running a very good identity politics campaign. And that's, you know, but it could split the party. I mean, the question is, it's going to be another McGovern situation, or is he really a real set breaker and someone who is more in the realm of Franklin Delano Roosevelt? I just read an article where his sort of background points toward a family heritage where the people were an immigrant family that really worshipped Roosevelt, and in a way he's talking about the restoration of the New Deal.
Yeah, absolutely, in terms of his positions. And in fact, one of the things I've wondered is, why does he paint himself so much as a socialist when in reality he's a New Deal Democrat?
Well, you know, that's a good question. It began when he was elected mayor. He never ran as a socialist. He ran on the Liberty Union Party, which was a kind of countercultural party, but it wasn't an ideological party, really. Socialism was never discussed in those campaigns that I remember. And if anyone asked, you know, that question, they would say, well, we just mean democracy. And that was the end of the discussion. When he was elected mayor, there was a reporter in Burlington. This is a true story. And the reporter for the Burlington Free Press, the Daily, wanted to get his story picked up by the Boston Globe. And, you know, he said an independent was elected in Burlington. They weren't excited, but when he explained that he was a socialist, they put it on the front page, socialist elected in Burlington. And so from that point forward, he had to defend the fact that he was a socialist. At first, he was hesitant to do it, but gradually he recognized that he would always be confronted with this. And so he tried to develop a sort of a definition of his program as the essence of socialism, without making it highly ideological. And whenever people ran a campaign against him on the fact that he was a socialist, he would simply ignore it, and in Vermont it didn't stick. It was never became an issue again, really, after the first couple of years in the 80s.
He seems to be giving socialism a good name. Now, how have you seen him, Bernie Sanders, Greg Gumma, how have you seen Bernie Sanders evolve as a candidate and a politician?
Well, when I met him, he was already a message candidate, but he was so adamant about the message that he didn't have room for, you know, let's say, the human touch. And I think that he has finally recognized how to be a sort of a fuller human being for running for this national office. So in that sense, I see him emphasizing more his personality, his you know, the fact that he relates to people. I mean, I'm impressed with how he connects with people even more. I think he's actually, in some ways, because power agreed with him in a way that was not entirely negative, that in some ways it's made him more humble because he feels he's carrying some sort of responsibility. He's kind of like one of these people who feels with great power comes great responsibility, and he is relatively humble about it compared to a number of other people in politics who I feel are succumbed to a form of narcissism. I would say he's one of the least narcissistic politicians I know.
Now, a lot of people have, kind of the idea of him is that he's cantankerous, he doesn't work across party lines,
True.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, talk about that.
Well, cantankerous, yes. He'll cut off a press conference if he had the power to, you know, and he didn't like the question. I've seen him shut down press conferences. He won't be able to do that anymore. On the other side, there's his ability to work across party lines and to get things done. Again, coming from the time as mayor. In Congress, he worked with Republicans on certain pieces of legislation, often having to do with economic issues, international trade, auditing the Fed in the Senate, so the vets program with McCain. So he has worked with Republicans. He worked with John Kasich on a bill. He worked with Ron Paul. So, you know, he's capable of, and also he's been an administrator. And so the downside is that he is kind of let's get it done and a few guys in a room can make a good decision. And perhaps there's a little hubris there. And he has been defeated at times locally because of that. But I think that when he trusts people, he is capable of taking in some new information. I've seen him evolve on environmental issues. He really wasn't very sensitive to them in the 80s, and now I think he sees the dimensions of the problem. And I think on race, he always had a critique, but I think living in such a white state, you kind of lose focus. It is a kind of a different culture, so I think he's had to resensitize himself on that. But I think he's working on it.
Now, you say in one of your articles that I read that Hillary Clinton may think that she's kind of bringing him down a bit on the gun issue, but that she could actually be playing into his hands. Could you explain that?
Well, I think that he's running a general election campaign on guns. It is his position, but I think he understands that her position, while it works with a base Democrat, it doesn't necessarily work with independents, and it doesn't necessarily work in southern states. And I think that Bernie, he's used the gun issue in a fairly sophisticated way in the past. He did lose his race in 88 because of his, I think, opposition to assault weapons. But then he came back and did an end run around the Republican who beat him 2 years later and got NRA support that one time. And yeah, he did vote against the Brady Bill. So, he's looking for some sort of common ground with people who are quote unquote legitimate gun owners coming from a state that has absolutely no gun legislation. We have the same sort of regime for guns that Arizona does. We just kill a lot less people.
Well, you've known him a long time. You've known Bernie Sanders a long time. If you could give him any advice going forward, knowing him as you do, in this presidential campaign, what would you say to him?
Widen his circle of advisors. I think that's key. I think he needs to constantly fight the urge to keep the circle small. Bring in women, more women. because he tends to be more comfortable with men, just generally. So I would say that's something to work on. Ask more questions. Because the message works, but the world keeps changing.
Well, that's great. Well, Greg Guma, I want to thank you so much for talking with us here on Writer's Voice. Your most recent article is One Man's Show? What happened?
Well, no, I would say if I was going to point people to anything, I would point them to my book, The People's Republic, Vermont, and the Sanders Revolution, which is the origin story of Bernie Sanders and how he won and what he didn't in Vermont. And that's the thing I'm proudest of, and tell the story the best, I think. And there are many other articles. I think the Sanders Crusade, and the series on my blog, Greg Guma blog, with a 7-part series, which kind of tells his story in a very balanced way. So those are the two things I'd suggest.
That's great. And we will link to all those. And again, thank you so much for talking with us.
Appreciate it.